From listener-supported KTOO, welcome to Juno Afternoon, broadcasting live from the homelands of the Occoquan and on demand as a podcast. It's Wednesday, August 28th, 2024. I'm your host, Boston Christopher, Gnathchish, Hawa, Toyoksuk Nusum, Slamat. Thank you for joining the conversation. On today's show, we preview this Saturday's concert from Con Brio Chamber Series featuring music from Stravinsky, Bach, and more. The Gold Town Drive-In closes out the summer with a Dirty Dancing live music and movie event. Costa is here to shake down the details. And classes have begun at the University of Alaska Southeast. We look forward to fall events and announcements with Chancellor Dr. Aparna Palmer. Those conversations plus Tongass voices and more coming up this hour on Juno Afternoon.
Hansen Gress. Ka eat with the shu yi, we kashuk a yi tin. Jin kat ka ke jin tak anakaya ha anikak gunil cheesh.
KTOO would like to acknowledge that we broadcast from the homelands of the Occoquan. The Clan Idi have stewarded this area for thousands of years. Today, our studios sit on a spot once part of the tidelands, now covered over with buildings, roads, and parking lots. We recognize those families who traveled to and from these tidelands to fishing and hunting grounds and to gatherings in other villages and still cherish it as an important part of their way of life for today and for future generations. Listening to community supported Juno Afternoon on KTOO at 104.3 Juno, 91.7 Juno Auk Bay, and online at KTOO.org. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. This Saturday, August 31st at 2 p.m., over in the State Museum Atrium, Con Brio Chamber Series, in partnership with the State Libraries, Archives, and Museum, presents Tour de Force. It's a program of beautiful music set with the sound bouncing around the atrium, and it is bound to be a delight for the ears. And you can find out more by searching Con Brio Chamber Series on Facebook, and not to mention, it's a pay-as-you-can, so it's very affordable concert music for you. The concert features the talents of those joining me in the studio now, Elena Levi and Ben Holtz, and they are joined by Con Brio Artistic Director Sally Schlichting. Gnathchish, hi, thank you so much. It's a pleasure to have you all in the studio today. Wasa iti, how's it going?
Good. Nice. Thanks for having us.
Rehearsals are in progress, mm-hmm. and we're getting ready for this concert. Before we begin, though, Sally, if you could just catch everyone up on what is Con Brio Chamber Series.
Yeah. All right. Well, so Con Brio Chamber Series is a little concert planning series that I started in 2016. I'm now on the 20th program that we have put on. And we've got three concerts this year, Tour de Force this Saturday, and Romantische with William Todd Hunt on clarinet and Doug Smith on piano in mid-September. We'll be back to talk about that.
Great.
And then next spring, Tangle of Rainbows, which is the chamber works of Olivier Messiaen. And that is going to be another really special program. So,
wow.
Yeah.
That's so cool. So,
yeah.
And tell me just a little bit about this partnership with the museum that you've got going.
Oh, yeah. So with friends of the State Libraries, Archives, and Museum, we put on these concerts. So I couldn't do it without them and their sponsorship.
Yeah, they're a great organization, the Friends. They do all kinds of events themselves, and they just help out. They volunteer, and they sort of guide different things that are going on at the museum,
yeah.
and all those wonderful exhibits. Okay, so Elena and Ben, so tell me, how did this program come about, this particular set of things that you're going to be doing on Saturday?
I think we've been telling everybody we're gonna do a recital for probably 3 or 4 years now, and
time to pay the piper, as they say.
Yeah, it's time. So this weekend we're on. I think Lena had the first piece in mind. I think the Stravinsky, you were working on it at the end of college, kind of the tail end of college, right?
That was when I started in 2021, I think. So it's good to finally have a chance to like actually have someone hear it.
Oh, nice. Okay, that's so cool. And what will we hear on Saturday? Let's go over the program a little bit.
So we've got the Stravinsky. Ben is going to play a cello sonata by Finnish composer Olli Mustonen. I'm going to be playing a couple movements from a Hindemith viola sonata. We're playing a movement from the Ravel sonata for violin and cello.
I'll be doing a little bit of a saxophone rendition of some of one of Bach's works originally for cello. And then we've got two original compositions. One Lena wrote only a couple months ago, and one that I wrote back in 2018.
That's awesome. I know I want to talk about that original work in just a minute. And you have somebody else that's going to be joining you, right, Kyle?
Yep. Kyle will be accompanying on the piano during the Mustonen cello sonata.
The Mustonen. I don't know much about Mustonen. Tell me a little bit about that.
He's a living composer. He's Finnish. He's also a piano player. I discovered this piece. He did a album with Steve Isserles, who's a British cellist, who's kind of a champion of new work for the cello. And they were doing a series of Martineau cello sonatas, and then they had Mustonen's piece after that, and it kind of just came out of nowhere. I was just listening on Spotify and fell in love with it right away. So
wow. It's a wonderful piece.
Okay. Yeah. So we're going to be hearing that. Okay. And I should say his full name, who's going to be helping you with that, Kyle Farley Robinson, will be joining you on the Mustonen piece. I'm going to have to look that one up because that sounds really good. Finnish composer, you said?
Yeah.
Okay. Very cool. Okay. So let's talk about this this original work. So Lena, tell me a little bit about what your piece, where did you get inspired to make this piece?
So the title of my piece is The Days Fly. It's definitely one that I wrote with Ben in mind. Kind of like exploring ideas of like how quickly time can pass, like with like time spent with people we love versus the kind of the slow, like dreariness of time spent apart, kind of exploring some of those ideas. One thing that I guess is a little bit unique about the piece is that the violin actually tunes up a half step, and then the cello actually tunes down a half step, or sorry, a whole step to perform this one, to make a couple of the chords a little bit more intuitive to the instruments.
Okay, that's cool. So how do you go from like the idea, and you composed it on what? What did you compose it on? Do you think, did you use a couple different instruments, or where did you start, I guess?
I think like in the beginning, like usually finding some chords that I like on piano, like kind of following like harmonies that like really stick out to me, and finding ways to come up with some sort of rhythm that kind of.
I see. Okay, because I know you all are going to be playing violin, viola, cello, baritone sax, and piano. So there's a lot of instruments that you're going to be playing between the both of you.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Okay. So when you're thinking, so are you at the piano sort of plucking around, and then you kind of come up with something, a melody that you kind of begin to like, and then does that help form kind of the idea in your brain of expression that you're going for? Or do you have like, today I'm feeling love today, and then you sit down and you start plunking around, or is it a combination of both?
Maybe a combination, I'd say. Although maybe for this one in particular, a lot of time spent writing it was like with the violin in hand as well. Like just kind of trying to come up with some figures that were intuitive to the instrument.
Yeah. Because are you going for like, it's so interesting to me, the creation of music, right? Like how does that begin? And especially something in your realm, which is obviously it's new music, so we're not calling it classical, but it's in that sort of style, right?
Right.
Yeah. So the idea of when you're going after that creative moment, is it sort of a tone you're searching for?
This piece in particular, I would say kind of It does draw a lot of inspiration from like Philip Glass as a composer. And we, the Icefield Quartet, have been playing a lot of Philip Glass recently anyway. So I think I kind of had him in my ear a little bit already.
Okay. So you're getting inspired, right?
Definitely,
and then you're sort of funking around and making your own thing happen. Mm-hmm. And what's the piece called again?
The Days Fly.
The Days Fly. They sure do. This summer flew by. Right.
No kidding.
That's pretty amazing. Okay. And Ben, your piece, which is new, tell me a little bit about that one.
Yeah, so I wrote this in 2018 when I was living in the kind of Chicago industrial sprawl. I started off my career after engineering school working in the steel industry. So a very different place from Juneau, but a place where there's still, you know, kind of some unique beauty in kind of the landscape of, you know, maybe just a really industrial landscape. Stax was definitely written with that in mind. Some particular things of like seeing some pretty dramatic sunsets of the Chicago skyline in the distance over Lake Michigan, or working up on top of some of these really tall smokestacks and seeing kind of the city lights, and you know, especially as it kind of faded into a cloudy night where you might not have stars, but you've got kind of this glow of just like the city around, like in one way very desolate, but in another way kind of very, very beautiful. So
it's so interesting to me because those are the images, right? Mm-hmm. So how do you transform those into music? What does your brain do?
I want to say that I have like a thesaurus of like, this chord means this feeling, or this set of instruments kind of corresponds to, you know, this moment in a movie or in life that I kind of associate those two. And one of the particular moments in the song starts and ends with, actually there's a lot of trains in Chicago, right? Mm-hmm. And I had a favorite train horn. There's some that sound like this ugly cacophony of nonsense, but there's some that's actually sound really beautiful. And it's kind of like this major seven with a nine chord stacked on. Mm-hmm. And you know how a train, you know, when it's coming, it's got kind of a higher pitch. And then as it whooshes by, that sound drops. Mm. And so in the whole piece, it starts off with that higher train sound, and then you end with that. It's kind of slid away.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. I always remember when I don't play music. I did own a guitar at one point, thinking I was going to learn. And I remember always being drawn to, you know, like these different, I can't remember what the actual chord was. It was like an E minor or something. And it was a certain kind of chord that struck a tone with me, right? It made my body feel a certain way. And is that sort of what music does for you both? Is it kind of transcends feeling, but also like gets in the body and that expression of that?
Yeah, I would say so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think a lot of composition for me is like trying to find the musical spice blend that kind of emulates that certain emotion or something that I'm going for.
I see. Yeah, that's so cool. Okay, well, I have a little piece. This is from rehearsal, I think. And oh, I want to talk to you about this because you're over in the atrium at the museum. And if people have been to the museum, it's this big open space, right? But that must mean it brings a certain kind of sound. And I think you'll hear a little bit of that. And this is probably recorded on like a phone or something. So it's not the exact quality that you will get when you're inside the space listening. But just to give people a sense of this, and I think this is Stravinsky is what you're working on here as you guys are plunking around trying to figure that out. So let's listen to
the Eclogue.
Okay, here's a little bit of the Eclogue Stravinsky with Ben and Lena. Thank you. This is Juno in Afternoon, and we're talking with Alina Levi and Ben Holtz about this Saturday's Conbrio Chamber Series concert called Tour de Force. It's happening in the museum atrium at 2 p.m. on Saturday. And that's a little bit of the Stravinsky from a recent rehearsal that they record. And you can kind of hear that cool sort of, it doesn't give it like an echoey sound, but it definitely brings open, right? It just allows the instrument to breathe in the space. And how do you find playing in that space versus maybe a different space?
It's definitely very live. I think when there's going to be some people in the audience, it'll kind of deaden it a little bit. It's kind of hard to line up some more lively parts for sure. But the piano in that space sounds really incredible. They have a fantastic Yamaha there. And then also when Lena was working on her viola solo, it just like projected out. I mean, it was great.
Mm. Does the sound kind of bounce back at this point without people in there? Or is it bouncing around? I mean, are you hearing it back in your own ear is it serving as like a monitor almost or no?
It's a little hard to tell. Mm. I guess like when you're standing where the like kind of the stage is, but mm-hmm. we both kind of took turns kind of stepping back away just to see how it would sound like from the perspective of the audience. And I think it's going to be a really great venue.
Okay. Sure. That's so cool. Now, Lena, you moved to Juno in 2022. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And where were you before that? And how did you get here to Juno?
I was working on my music degree out on the East Coast. I had just finished up my undergrad at Boston University for violin performance and a composition degree as well. And I had started a master's program at Mannes School of Music in New York City. That it didn't quite pan out, but found a really good opportunity to come out here to Juno. Like following that.
Nice. And I see that you are on the board of the Thrush Hill Music Academy, as well as you're involved with the Orpheus Project.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you moved here a couple years ago, but you're quickly getting entrenched in the music scene.
She's got a pretty big teaching studio, too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. So people need lessons, right?
Yeah. And I also help with the jam program in town as well.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I love it here. Yeah. There's so many opportunities.
Well, welcome. That's so cool. And Ben, you have kind of like a superhero origin story, because you mentioned in a little bit ago this engineering degree, and you still work in that field. And so by day, you're an engineer with Coeur Alaska Kensington Mine, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I mean, I see you have your vest on right now.
I do. Yep.
And then by night, you're plunking around on all kinds of instruments.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And composing music.
Yep.
Are you sometimes at the workday composing in your mind?
Every once in a while I have an idea and I have to write it on a sticky note, but, because I do stay out there overnight, sometimes I'll bring my cello out to practice after hours.
I see. I was thinking, you know, you like sneak off. You're like, I need a bathroom break, guys. And you're on there and you're doing a music tone into your phone, like singing the notes or something, you know, cause I mean, you get inspired at any time of day, right? Mm-hmm. That's kind of fun. This sounds like a fantastic program. Sally, will you give us the details again and, mm-hmm. and let us know like what's it going to cost us and sure. when do we go and where do we find out more?
Yeah. So this Saturday at 2 p.m. at the Alaska State Museum atrium, and admission is pay as you can. If you need to find out more, you can email combriochamberseries@gmail.com, or you can go to Facebook Combrio Chamber Series and look us up there and look up the event. And it's pretty simple. Show up. It's 395 Whittier Street, where the Alaska State Museum is. And 2 o'clock.
Lovely to do it at 2 o'clock on a Saturday.
Yeah, it's wonderful. And you get done, you can go out to dinner. And,
it's perfect.
Talk about the program. And it's a really tremendous program. I mean, playing all these different instruments and writing music for it is just really tremendous. So excited. So happy to have my fellow musicians perform.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Well, Alina and Ben, thank you so much for coming and telling us about this awesome program. Sally, thanks for doing Combrio Chamber Series. It's a joy to have it in Juneau and to make this concert and this recital available for pay as you can. Makes it accessible that's for right. everyone, which is really cool. So, and I know in the theater they say break a leg. What do they say in the music industry? In the concert world, what do you say for
break a string?
Awesome. Well, I really appreciate you coming in. Gonna cheese.
Gonna cheese.
Okay, you can make Saturday a double feature. Hit the chamber concert first and then switch gears and get your dirty dancing on with a live music and movie event at the Gold Town Drive-In. Costa is up next to get us primed for the time of our life. This is Juno Afternoon on KTOO. But first, this week's Tlingit Word of the Week.
You're listening to KTOO's Tlingit Word of the Week. This week's word comes from Keishi Besikuli. The word this week is tih.
Teeth.
That means chum or dog salmon. And here's a sentence.
Teeth to this lind dach uch och yes yut.
Dog salmon too. They swim to Teslin in the fall. Let's hear it again.
Teeth.
Chum or dog salmon. Gunnish jish to hune Lance Twitchell, Goldbelt Heritage Foundation, and the University of Alaska Southeast for this audio.
Keishi Besikuli is Kokhetan and a child of a Yenyedi man. She is from Deslin and grew up spending time in Teslin. She earned a master's degree in Indigenous Languages and Linguistics from Simon Fraser University and interviewed many speakers for the Hashagun language series. She is currently translating projects for the Children of the Takhu Society.
Tune in next week for another Tlingit Word of the Week from KTOO.
Support for Juno Afternoon comes from Heritage Coffee Roasting Company, providing Juneau with locally roasted coffee for over 40 years, with cafes and drive-through locations throughout Juneau. More at heritagecoffee.com. Got to get the Just Remember in there. This is Juno Afternoon on your listener-supported public media station, KTOO. I'm your host, Boston Christopher, and of course, that is I've Had the Time of My Life. Mm-hmm. This Friday and Saturday night, nobody puts Baby in the corner. Live it up with a Dirty Dancing live music and movie event at the Gold Town Drive-In right next to Woo-hoo! Tracy's 2, put on by the folks who brought you events like the Blues Brothers and the Big Lebowski. And more. And it's sure to make you swing and shout. Get more info at goldtownnick.com. And here to tell us more is the one and only Colette Costa. Costa!
Boss, you just covered it all. We're good.
Okay,
thank you very
for
much.
Coming in.
All right, see you guys later. Wow.
Good cheese for coming in. There's so many questions to talk about this because there's like there's other things that happen at this thing.
So
and also
many
what the style of this thing. We were just talking about while we were listening to that. That on you know the sad news is that it's been 35 years since the movie or so, and many of the folks on the soundtrack are not with us anymore.
Yeah, well, 37 years is a lifetime for many people, Boston.
That is true.
I mean, it's twice as long as your average dog.
So for those who don't know what Dirty Dancing is.
Well, I can tell you that half of my band has never seen it, as we have
that's what I'm talking
terrifyingly
about.
Found out over the last few weeks.
Generational things happen and movies go by and
sure.
people
some stand the test of time. They don't have to be good movies either.
No, they don't have to
There
be
are many
movies.
Who would argue, like certain people in my band, that Dirty Dancing is not a good movie. I would argue that they are incredibly wrong.
Of the time, I mean it was a movie. You know, it was a sensation.
Oh, it swept.
You know, I mean,
and also, you know, there was also I feel like there was this zenith of late musicals, like non-musical musicals that were happening in probably through the 80s. Mm. You know, they weren't necessarily musicals, but they had these killer soundtracks, you know, Footloose and even something like, what was the Tom Cruise movie?
Cocktail?
We got Cocktail had a great Little Shop of Horrors, which technically is a musical.
I was just watching one again the other night because of the music, Boogie Nights.
Oh, incredible.
Which came out in the late mid-90s or so, but it was so amazing. Like there was, because musicals weren't the thing, but music in movies.
Yeah, like
was
musical
huge.
Soundtracks were very well thought out.
Yeah.
And different than, I mean, Scorsese also does an incredible soundtrack on most of his films, but they're not what the kids would say bespoke songs anymore. Whereas with Dirty Dancing, you had, you know, three of the original songs in the film were all charting at that time. You know, Time of My Life, Hungry Eyes, and She's Like the Wind, which
She's
I think was
like the wind.
Number 8. And apparently I just found out that, because we all, I think, are familiar with the fact that Patrick Swayze sang that song. He also wrote it. Apparently he wrote it for this amazing film that he did back in the 80s called, not Roller Boogie, Boogie. It was a Roller Boogie movie. It's incredible. Oh. And they were like, yeah, we don't think so. And then 8 years later, they're doing this movie. And he's like, I know you guys need a love theme. Here's a little thing.
Oh, it fits perfect.
It's wonderful.
You know, this is totally off topic, but I just heard that, you know, a lot of the kids are calling this thing the Deadpool dance to the song Bye Bye Bye.
Huh.
You know that song?
No. Oh. It must have been made
no,
after
no,
the
you
2000.
Know, no, like the Backstreet Boys.
Oh, yes, know? Yes, yes.
Yeah. And so, and it's in the opening of the Deadpool movie. Yeah.
But this
and the kids don't know where it comes from, so they call it the Deadpool dance.
You know, I mean,
or maybe it's NSYNC. I might be wrong. I see, that's how I wasn't really a boy band
look,
guy. But
if it weren't for Shrek 2, my nieces would never have heard of the monkeys. But because of Shrek 2, and it had Wake Up, that one. Anyway, it revived this song.
I'm a believer.
Yeah. So, you know, that's fine. I love that. And you know, Dirty Dancing was reviving a lot of the songs from the 60s that had been, I mean, Do You Love Me became a huge hit again for the Contours were not a band then, but, but being able to like relive these songs, you know, the Contours, the Zodiacs, the Shirelles,
the Ronettes.
Oh my God, the Ronettes. And the funny thing is, I mean, we have a pretty good band, I think, for as far as local musicians go. And we have some extremely talented people. And we're working on a song that is seemingly simple, like Be My Baby, which, of course, isn't simple because it's Phil Spector and it's the Wall of Sound. And we're trying to do it and it's never right. And then we have to stop because everyone's also a little bit OCD in that band and like micromanage certain parts of it. And someone's like, well, it's because this goes 1, 2, 4 beats and that one goes 5 beats. And the other one goes 6. I'm like, I don't. And you realize these are incredibly complicated, seemingly simple pop tunes.
Right.
But they're one, there's just when you can really deep dive on them, it's really fun.
Well, it's going to be so fun to see this thing. So obviously the night ends with the movie.
Correct.
But tell us about what this live music and the portion before and there's a contest and all this stuff.
Well, the short version is for years, there's this English company called Secret Cinema and they've been doing these immersive movie events. The whole idea is to celebrate the movie and to put you in the world of the film before watching the movie, to give you some context, to give you some relationable elements to it. And they do them on an enormous scale, 50,000 people. It's insane. But I love the idea. And of course, some years ago, John Clow and I put together, well, mostly him, but I helped out doing this Casablanca show, which was incredible. And it really helped launch this thing I'd been wanting to do for a while on a different scale. So the idea is when you come to the event Friday or Saturday of this weekend, you are entering Kellerman's resort. And so you're greeted by Kellerman's employees. You'll be given a brochure and a bingo card. There's going to be lawn games all over that you can play, rain or shine, because we don't care in Alaska, remember? There's going to be a Simon Says game. There's going to be dance lessons spread throughout the evening that will relate to the bands and the music they're playing. So you don't know how to two-step for the country band? Great. Go take the two-step lesson. Come over and two-step.
Nice.
And so we'll be, and you know, God bless Tracy LaBarge and her crew over there at the Crab Shack. This is in the Crab Shack too, over by across the street from here. And you know, she's got this wonderful tent. So we'll have the main thing in the big tent and then the side games and dance lessons in the other tent and then things going on all around.
Oh, so if it is like perhaps sprinkling.
Perhaps.
If we're getting a little wet, not, you know,
a little bit.
We can still have some coverage.
For sure.
But then you're also, are you getting in your car then to watch the movie?
You can. So not everybody wants to stay for the movie, which is completely their choice.
Okay.
But those who do, we will be, that's part of the hard part is we have to set the parking lot up when people get in. So that can happen. But once the live show is over, then yes, your car will be pre-parked. You get in it, we start the movie. But added bonus this time, because there's a lot of people, I thought, you know what would be fun? We're going to set up a screen, because you know we have that big Connex that we show the screen. We're going to show the movie on both sides of the screen. So she has that wonderful fire pit on the backside on the water side.
Oh.
It's probably going to be too rainy to make a fire, but we'll try anyway. And yeah. We're going to have some big tents set up. So you can just come and hang on the backside of the screen. And still have a little cocktail with you. Can't take cocktails into the parking lot, by the way. But you can still hang out there under these tents and be able to watch the movie. We'll have a big outdoor speaker so you can hear it. And the party can continue that way if you don't want to go sit into your car, which is also a wonderful experience.
That's so cool.
I'm super psyched about that. And I actually thought about setting up a third viewing area in one of the tents. I don't know if I have that energy. But the point being, when you come into the event, there's going to be, there's a lot of plot points people forget. There's a whole side plot of these pickpockets in the movie. So we're going to have a pickpocket game. So everyone's going to get a virtual wallet. And other people are going to try and steal your wallet through the night. And whoever collects the most wallets at the end of the night gets a prize. There's prizes. There is a dirty dance contest for anyone who wants to enter. And if only two people enter, then you're going to win the fabulous prizes.
I'm sure you'll have more entries than, if you can shake your hips like Patrick Swayze, you got to get in there.
You can even twerk. This doesn't have to be period specific dirty dancing. This can be any dirty dancing.
But we are going to have a PG-13 show here, Costa.
It could be.
No, I mean here.
We don't know that.
So anyway, it's a dirty dancing contest.
That happens within the context of the show itself.
Okay. And you're also encouraging people to dress up.
Absolutely. I think that really kind of pulls it together, which I understand is difficult because it's not going to be warm. And, you know, you might have to wear, you know, a 1963 fur coat over your outfit. That's great. But for those of you who perhaps don't have some kind of period specific outfits, somebody here in this radio booth might have a spending problem and may have bought too many costumes. So I've decided we're going to have a pop-up Kellerman's boutique.
And
we will have a store where you can, for the very low prices of whatever we can get, buy some cute little outfits to put on for the show to keep.
I love that.
It's going to be really cute. I'm super excited about it.
So if some people, if you look in your closet, you got nothing, it's going to be.
Come on down anyway.
Sounds like everything is going to be there.
It's available. It's a lot.
You always do it. You oversell, but you also make it happen. You also, somehow it all comes together. It's like one of those weird things where, you know, it's like you have these huge ideas and then they come to fruition and everybody has a fantastic time.
Or they forget that they didn't have a fantastic time, which is,
well, that's you know what it is? Thing.
It is because this community is awesome and gets behind silly things like this and helps to put on a show in my dad's barn and Little Rascal, the whole thing. And it is... there are like 50 people involved in this thing and they are all doing heavy lifting. So without that team, these would not happen. So, and then also to all the people in Juneau who come to these, who support them, that's the point of doing a show no one comes to, right?
Right.
And so I'm endlessly grateful for all of that stuff.
Well,
that's why we're going to do it despite the weather.
It's a fantastic time. I know you can get tickets on Brown Paper Tickets. Just search for Dirty Dancing.
There's a link on our website.
Or you can go to goldtownnick.com and find the link. What time does it start? And I know it's Friday and Saturday night.
Yes.
This weekend. That's August 30th and August 31st. But what time does it start?
The doors open at 7. You can probably bring your card on a little bit before that, but please don't. Doors open at 7. The show itself, the live music. So as soon as you walk into that door, the show is on. There are people milling. That's all happening. The live music portion and I suppose show part starts at 8. But
you want to get there and be immersed, right? Immersed into the whole thing and pick up some.
You try not to show up at 8. The show goes from 8 to about 10. And then there's a break when we set things up and the movie will start. We're hoping close to 10:30. So it's a bit late, but that's the whole thing. But yeah, you don't want to be rolling up at 9:30 to catch the last act or whatever, because you've already missed a lot.
And are you playing a lot of the music from the soundtrack?
We're playing the entire soundtrack save two songs.
Oh my gosh.
The people on the soundtrack are incredible. Like Eric Carmen, who sings Hungry Eyes, who just passed away, rest his soul, about 2 weeks ago, had this, I was like, who is this guy? I don't know. I started diving on him, and he was lead singer for the Raspberries in the 70s and 80s. And then he had this huge hit in 1976 called All By Myself. And then he did essentially nothing for a while. Mm. And then his friend called him and said, hey, you want to record this crazy song? He's like, yeah, I got nothing else going on. And had this huge career resurgence.
Awesome. Yeah, it's going to be so good.
Awesome.
It's the Dirty Dancing live music and movie event at the Gold Town Drive-In. It's right next to, it's part of Tracy's 2, which is across the street from the Jack and KTOO right there on the water. It's this Friday and Saturday, and you can find out more and get tickets at goldtownnick.com. Colette, thank you so
Austin,
much for coming
thank
in.
You. Thank you. Thank KTOO. Support public radio, y'all.
Yeah, you know it. Thank you so much. Okay, up next, university classes started up this week out at UAS. Chancellor Dr. Aparna Palmer joins us next to preview the fall, plus news on their new dedicated to science building. But first, this week's Tongass Voices, a series from KTOO sharing weekly perspectives from the homelands of the Akwan and beyond. Shade Woutine Jenny Brown is a missing and murdered Indigenous peoples advocate. Last week, she offered a training that honed in on one aspect of violence that people sometimes overlook, stalking. For Brown, this work is personal. She's a survivor, and she's lost family members to domestic violence, and often a stage of that increasing danger is stalking. Content warning, this interview contains mention of domestic violence and violence against Indigenous people.
You don't have to be quiet. We're not in the day and age where you're quiet about this. If they're doing something that makes you uncomfortable, speak up. Everybody has a warrior inside them, and it's time for them to wake up.
My name is Jenny Brown. My Tlingit name is Shade Woutine. I am Duck Dane Tan from Huna, originally Glacier Bay. They started because I'm an advocate for missing and murdered Indigenous people, and I'm an advocate for people that are incarcerated. I'm an advocate for recovery. And I feel like this training, the stalking awareness and prevention training, ties into domestic violence, sexual assault, missing and murdered. It all plays a part, like a beginning, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's re-traumatizing, sometimes it's healing. Because I'm not a person that's going to sit there and be quiet about things like this. You know what I mean? Like, it needs to be brought to the light. We're no longer in the generation of what happens in the home stays in the home. I'm a firm believer, like, no, you did wrong. We don't deserve that. A lot of the self-care that I do is I'm in counseling. I do counseling with the Community and Behavioral Services with Tlingit and Haida. And I have a good support group. I talk to my pastor. I talk to my friends. I'm really well supported. I talk to my sponsor. I'm really well supported in things that I do. You know what I mean? Which makes me feel like I'm the one that needs to reach out and show people. You know what I mean? I've said many times in many interviews before that I want to be the light so that people from the dark can see the light and come towards it. To be the path and help people, because I don't want to stand on a platform by myself. You know what I mean? I feel like we all deserve to be on that platform. And it kind of really opened my eyes, because I'm a person that likes to be doing awareness trainings in our community to be like, hey, this happens in our community. Please don't turn a blind eye. It could be your neighbor. It could be somebody that you see every day and not know. People use it very loosely. Like when people say, oh, I was stalking you on Facebook last night. Like, we need to end that kind of language. You know what I mean? Because it's something, this is something serious.
What happens when the victim gets a restraining order and the stalker comes forth and kills them? You know what I mean? And nobody took them serious because everybody uses it so loose. Oh, I was stalking you at the store. Or if you see somebody more than once at the store, what, are you stalking me? You know what I mean? Like, the language in itself needs to stop. I always have the saying that my door is open. My phone's always on. My door is always open. If this is happening, don't be afraid to reach out. I know that our services in Juneau are limited, but it doesn't mean that we don't have a community that cares. There's always somebody. I feel like every person should have that one support that is there through thick and thin and will answer at the drop of a dime at 3 o'clock in the morning. And I like to be that person because I don't want somebody to feel like they're alone.
That was Jenny Brown for this week's Tongass Voices. Listening to Juno Afternoon from Studio 2K at KTOO. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. Classes are now in session. The University of Alaska Southeast fall semester has begun, which means we can look forward to another fall of Evening at Egan lectures, with the first one happening this Friday. Plus, UAS has a new science building that we want to find out all about. It's a pleasure to be joined now by my favorite tardigrades and Polychaetes researcher, who also happens, she also happens to serve as the chancellor at UAS, Dr. Aparna Palmer. How's it going? I think I may have messed up those names, but it's water bears and sea worms.
That is correct. Yeah, they're the loves of my life, water bears and sea worms, and I'm really happy that you recognize them. Thank you.
Did I say, how do you say, is it Polychaetes?
It's Polychaete.
Polychaete.
Yeah.
Okay. And tardigrades?
Perfect.
That one I got. Okay.
Yes,
but Polychaetes.
Yeah.
Okay. And I know this was a love of yours. This was your research. This is what you had been doing for many years. And now academia has stolen you away a little bit. But do you still get to like read about them or work on it a little bit?
You know, I actually still continue to think about water bears and sea worms every day of my life.
I just
love them. And yes, I do keep up on the research that is done on them. And I love little programs about them. And I love talking about them to anybody who's willing to listen to me talk about sea worms and water bears.
I love it. It's all part of the ecosystem. It's all part of the things we need to keep going with. It's really wonderful. Now, you've been the chancellor for maybe a little over a year now out at UAS?
That is correct.
Okay.
I started my tenure there at, or last July. And so here we are again in August. And so 1 year and 1 month.
Wow. That's so great. Congratulations.
Thank you.
And are you enjoying Juneau?
I love Juneau. My husband and I have totally enjoyed Southeast Alaska. We are very outdoorsy people, so we enjoy hiking, we enjoy snowshoeing, skiing, everything that, you know, Southeast Alaska has to offer. We are just excited to explore.
Well, you are, you know, living the dream out there on the campus, because you're right. You're on that beautiful lake, and the campus is situated in such a wonderful spot. And you invite people out there for all kinds of things, including the Evening at Egan lecture. So I wanted to start there because it picks up this Friday.
Yes, I am totally excited because this Evening at Egan lecturer is actually one of our alumni. She graduated with a bachelor's degree in English with a specialization or an emphasis in literature and the environment, and then went on to get her master's and PhD from UC Berkeley in comparative ethnic studies. So she brings such an interesting research area and perspective back to our campus as a returning alumna.
Oh, that's so cool. And these are starting up this Friday. It's Evening at Egan Lecture. And if you haven't heard about them, they're free lectures that you can go to out at the Egan Library. And they have all different kinds of speakers. And it goes through basically the entire fall semester. And the whole schedule is online at uas.edu. And you can search for Evening at Egan. I'll put the link on the show notes for this episode on kto.org/JunoAfternoon. But you can see the upcoming schedule as they get confirmed. And this Friday is Jen Rose Smith, who is the assistant professor of geography at the University of Washington. And it's all about ice geographies.
Yeah, I think what's really fascinating about her research is that she's looking at the concept and the physical nature of ice and how it determines boundaries and how people understand it. Now, she comes with an indigenous perspective. So she is of the Eyak people, and she really kind of explores all of the intersections between being indigenous, how ice and the Arctic have viewed, and the history that indigenous peoples have had with the landscape and with other explorations.
And the fact that she's a UAS graduate, that's got to be kind of cool.
I am so proud. I just have goosebumps. I'm so, so excited to actually meet her in person and listen to her lecture.
That's great. And they will continue on throughout the semester. And in the past few years, it's always ended in December with sort of a really cool like faculty evening at Egan, where you get to see what the faculty is working on, and some students too, right? I think that's how that works.
Yeah, we definitely had that at the end of last fall. And, you know, we actually try to embed that into a number of the different lectures. So last year, one of our most popular or well-attended lectures was actually on the glacier and the flooding associated with the glacier.
Oh, I bet.
And by the way, you know, I really want to, you know, make sure that people know how much we care about the people who have suffered from the flooding as a result of the glacier or the glacial flooding, but also the folks in Ketchikan who have suffered due to a landslide. Ketchikan and Juneau have our students, their families, alumni, our employees, and we really want to stand with them and support them.
Absolutely. Yeah, for sure. Thank you for those wonderful words, Gwyneth Cheese, for that. It is interesting because I know you have obviously faculty who are directly involved, Aaron Hood and a few others who are directly involved in working on these areas. And of course, as we deal with climate and climate change and all the different things that are happening, especially here in Southeast, it's so vital to have that information, right?
I agree. I think the research that they do is really important to us locally, but actually it's really important globally as well. And the scientists that you mentioned, Aaron Hood, but also Jason Fellman, the research that they do is so important. And, you know, we are so lucky at UAS to have two world-renowned researchers on glaciers, on flooding, really understanding the evolution and the contribution of glaciers to the many habitats that occur here.
Yeah, that's so great. And speaking of science, there's this awesome new building, the Oktahit, I think is how you say that.
Yes, we are so, so excited. This is a building that will house our environmental studies, our environmental sciences, and our environmental resources degrees. It is a chance for our faculty who are now located either on the lakeside part of our campus or at the ACRC, which is a research facility for Alaska coastal rainforests, to really have some space of their own to do the work that they do. They can teach there, they can do their research there, and they have the most beautiful view of Auk Bay there.
Oh, wow. I bet.
So we are excited to invite the community out to an open house. We're going to have a grand opening celebration immediately followed by an open house on Friday, September 20th. We've scheduled that between 3 and 5:30 p.m. to give plenty of time for people to come and really enjoy that new facility.
That is so cool. I mean, it just sounds like it's going to be housing all of these wonderful departments and research facilities and classrooms and collaborative spaces. And it really is great to see that come together, because I know it started construction not too long ago, right? It was a year or so ago, 2 years ago, maybe?
Yeah, a couple of years ago, yeah. They kind of started working on it, and they've done a lot of work this year, and they've brought it to completion. Very, very thankful to our team who worked with the contractors and also the contractors for completing the building.
I love it.
It is amazing. And yeah. It has this beautiful little balcony that you can stand on and just stare out at the ocean and even go whale watching. So we're really excited to bring the community out to celebrate that building.
Yeah, that's on Friday, September 20th from 3 to 5:30 p.m. You can go to the open house for that. And is there pictures on the website and stuff like that? Do you have photos of it that people could see at uas.edu?
So we are just starting to populate the website with photos, okay. But all they have to do is search for environmental science and they should have some images come up.
Great.
Yeah.
That's so awesome. And I know there's also an event this Friday. It's the UAS open house or campus kickoff is what it's called,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. So we have these great new students on campus. We wanted to welcome them. And so this Friday we have a kind of a wonderful campus kickoff. It'll be in the courtyard area on the Lakeside campus. And we have a number of community organizations that are going to be there, and they're going to table. Our students will get to walk around and learn about the community and just learn about the resources that are available to them. And by the way, I want to mention that in comparison to last year at this time, we are actually up 6% in headcount on the Juno campus. And I really want to thank everyone in the community who really has supported UAS this year. You know, something like this doesn't happen alone. It's due to our wonderful faculty and staff, but it's also due to the support that we receive from our community. So thank you so much, Juno community.
Absolutely. And I know as we've been talking about, Indigenous and language and incorporation into studies, that those classes are available out at UAS for anyone to take. You can audit the classes to learn Tlingit, and I think there's other languages that are going to be populating those schedules as well. And those are for the community, which I think is fantastic.
Yeah, I think, I should thank some of our partners for really helping us with that, but especially the Sea Alaska Heritage Institute. But it is an opportunity for people to come and learn languages like Tlingit without having to pay. And we want to offer that to our community. It is so important to save the languages of Southeast Alaska. And the more speakers we have, the more people who really celebrate all of the unique things that these languages bring, the better we are as a world.
I love that. Is there anything else coming up this fall that we need to know about at this point? I know we're going to be having you all come in and we're going to probably highlight some of these Evening at Egan speakers, but I just wanted to open it in case there was other things you wanted to highlight.
Well, I think, we are going to have some events like Evening at Egan, but what I want to say is you are welcome. Come and visit us on campus. We have really one of the most beautiful campuses in the entire world. I really believe that. I stare out my window sometimes and I think, wow, do I get to live here? Do I get to work here? And so if we can share that beauty and really share knowledge of what we have to offer, I would love to do that. So we welcome community members to just come and visit us.
I love that. Well, thank you so much, Dr. Aparna Palmer, my favorite water bear and sea worm researcher. Someday we'll have to have you on to talk just about that and how we might learn more about them as well, because I think that's just a fantastic area. I love that people have their personal journeys with things that they love. And obviously, it's great that you're doing all this great work as the chancellor and guiding the university. But there's always those things in our hearts, right, that that sort of keep us going. And I love that you're still involved and still looking at that research. And there's so many good things coming up. It's Genro Smith this Friday, August 30th at 7 p.m. It's out at UAS. It's part of the Evening at Egan Lecture Series. It's kicking off. And by the way, if you can't make it to the Evening at Egan Lecture Series, which you should, go to the Evening at Egan Lecture Series. But if you can't, they are archived, filmed and archived on the UAS YouTube channel. So you can search it there on the YouTubes and you can catch up on past ones. So if you want to go learn about the glacial flooding and go talk to hear about what the researchers said last year, go and watch that one. It was very good. So really, thank you so much, Dr. Palmer, Gwyneth Cheese, for being here today.
Thank you. Thank you so much for inviting me. I hope you have a great day.
I appreciate that. Do it for today's Juno Afternoon. On tomorrow's show, Perseverance Theater's Cold Case world premiere play opens on September 6th. We'll talk with the cast and crew. Plus, the Sitka Jazz Tour is coming to Juno on Labor Day. Juno Afternoon airs Wednesday through Friday at 3 p.m. right here on KTOO 104.3 Juno and KAUK Juno Okbe 91.7. Hello out the road. Find the show online at ktoo.org/JunoAfternoon. Where you can listen to episodes, subscribe to the podcast, offer feedback or suggestions, or find out how to be a guest on the show. Our theme music is by Indian Agent. Juno Afternoon is a project of the KTOO Arts and Culture team. I'm Boston Christopher, producer and host of the program, with help today from Aaron Tripp. Gwyneth Cheese, and have a joyous Juno evening. Thank you.